Good morning to everyone. It's good to see everybody. I think we've had a great song service already. Had a good study. Got a lot of people with us this morning. We appreciate our visitors being out with us this morning. A couple of songs starting us off. I think Happy Day is certainly one that Lyndon picked very well, and I think we all joined in nicely on. Definitely a happy day to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Happy to be together again after we've gone on vacation last week. Missed a couple services there, so it's good to be back. It's a really happy day to have a new sister in Christ with us. It's been, like as was mentioned, been attending with us for a while and keeping her mom in line. But it's great to have her as a sister in Christ, and so appreciate that. The last song that we sang, too, goes very well with the lesson talking about Jesus, because He lives, and another just beautiful song this morning, so well sung, great voices. And the lesson today is going to be about endings. But what makes Jesus so important to us, and we see the song there, because He lives. Had He not lived the life that He did on this earth and died and raised Himself again to be with God, be able to do that, to overcome death and to overcome what the rest of us would have faced had we not had God's hand in that, we wouldn't be excited. We wouldn't be happy. We wouldn't even be here today, because we wouldn't have the faith and hope that we need in order to pursue heaven, to pursue eternal life. And the fact that Jesus lives certainly is that eternal life that we should be after. This morning, as we were looking at some things, I've had a number of things happen just this past week. Mike's poem that he read on Wednesday helped me think about this, and I've had notes for about a month, and they all seem to kind of come together there. So I wanted to look at some things as we relate our lives to both beginning and ends. We talked about the song that we sang, Happy Day. You know, every day that we wake up, the fact that we wake up to this place, this earth that we have, the air that we breathe, and the fact that we're alive and we can do the things that we do, we go to work, we take care of things that are needful, we take care of people around us, and maybe tend to our families. The fact that we can do that should make us very happy. We remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 when He was giving what many call the model prayer. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." The two things that Christ, I think, in that prayer was saying, "Lord, we're appreciative to You, the fact that we have this day, and we thank You for that. And we also thank You for the food that we'll have." And you can look at a lot of things that you can make analogy to, and what Christ says our daily bread, whether that's the things that we earn, whether that's the provisions that God's given us, all those things should make us happy. And this picture that I've chosen here just happened to be one of the themes in my PowerPoint presentation, but it kind of goes well with this. You know, in productions, all of us like movies. We like really good movies. And, you know, it really kills you if you go and you see a movie that you've been looking forward to, or maybe one that you've loved as a child, and you miss the ending, because the ending is where everything's answered. You read a book. How many people read books in here? If you went around and had everybody raise their hand, there'd probably be a lot of you. Christians, certainly, we read our books. But besides the Bible, a lot of us also like reading fiction and nonfiction and things like that just from our libraries. You know, you can start a book and you can get almost through it, but where are the good parts typically? It's always the end. The last few chapters, that's when you're like, I can't stop, I can't stop, I can't stop. I got to find out what happened. It's the ending that is really the answer there, and that's what everything leads up to. One of the things that we like to do as kids, and we see our grandchildren and children do, and I've done these in class, probably a lot of you have done these in class at church and at school, is mazes. You know, sometimes you look at some of the mazes, and I was looking at some examples online in preparation for this, and some of them were just so complex. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. James happens to be pretty good at mazes. I can put a pretty complicated one on there, and it drives him crazy until he can figure out how to get from point A to point B. And I had to go through here and make sure somebody didn't just throw this up there, because there are some software tools that you can get up there to create mazes for you, but sometimes they actually can't be solved. I'm not going to leave this up long enough for everybody to try to figure out the answer, but if you've already got it, you're doing great, so you should have a happy day already, because you're pretty perceptive. The thing about a maze is trying to get to the finish, overcoming all those obstacles. And we've all done it before. You start down one path and you're like, oh, this is great. Sometimes you'll even get all the way down here and you're like, oh, I'm right there. And there's a roadblock. And then you have to figure out how to go all the way back without drawing a line. And it just gets complicated. But sometimes trying to get to that end is full of difficulty. But what happens when you finally get through? It's like, oh, phew, I can get rid of this. I mean, that's pretty much how we feel. We can get rid of that maze and not have to be bothered with it again. this morning what we're going to be thinking about, talking about endings, is our perception of time as human beings, both from a physical and a spiritual nature. And this is something that we are certainly familiar with every day, but I think it applies to us as we try to think about some things that we, like I said, some things have happened this past week to me. Others have been mentioning some things, and I think it's important sometimes we look at the time that we have and think about where we've started and where we're trying to get to and what lies up there. I didn't spend a lot of time on images, and boy, did that ever help me out. I told Abe last night, I said, this is the first time I've gotten done with a lesson this fast in a long time. And I realized, because I spend hours sometimes trying to find pictures and edit them for these presentations. Not that I'm trying to give you guys a discounted lesson by any means, but sometimes focusing on the meat of a lesson can help out a little bit than seeing just all the pretty pictures. Trying to take some things that are physical that really relate to us starts and stops. What the ending is all about. I've said this many times before. There's a lot of males, especially in this congregation, that really like NASCAR. NASCAR is usually just a bunch of accidents in between the start and the stop. But it matters a lot because sometimes those accidents in the middle of the race can allow people to get around other people that they ordinarily wouldn't have been able to do that. So you've got the start. I like races when everybody's sitting at a standstill and they take off. You know, you go back in time, and I like Formula One and road racing too. Talk about this a lot, so you'll just have to excuse this for all the racing analogies I like. But in the old days, I think even NASCAR, I'm not sure about that, but I know a lot of Formula One and those kind of races, they actually would park the cars side by side. And when they said go, the drivers would have to run, grab their helmets, run out and jump in the car, start it, and take off. And there's a lot of them that died because of that, because people were still trying to get their car started and were getting run over. They finally made it a little bit safer by letting all the cars get in motion, get warmed up, and then start the race. But starting and stopping, once the race starts, it could be a few hours. But when that final thing happens, those last laps, that's when everybody cares about that. A lot of people watch those shows and they say, oh, I want to watch the beginning. Oh, I've got to go back and watch that accident. And sometimes they'll get online and look at it. But they want to see who crossed that finish line. And sometimes you get those just a bumper away from each other finishes. It's just so amazing. Everybody's so excited about it. Katie's running track now. She's just started into doing some of that. A lot of you have kids and grandkids that have done track. Maybe you've done it in your own lives when you were younger. I love a starting line of a racetrack. And you see all those runners down there, and they're in those starting gates, and they're on those blocks, and just the whole way that a track's kind of laid out because of the distances and stuff from the insides looks kind of funny how they're all staggered like that. But when they fire that gun and everybody takes off, just seeing everybody jump at that start, it's exciting. But when you see that last person coming around there, maybe they're side by side, and you've seen this in the Olympics, you see that ribbon up there, and those people just running as fast as they can, sticking their chest out, just taking those long steps, trying to get to that finish. They want to get in there. They want to make sure that that time is theirs, that they're the first one across the line. Drag racing, sorry to excuse myself here for the racing analogies again, but another thing that really stood out to me is a drag race. You got two cars, very powerful cars, sitting on a line. If either one of them cross that line before the other one or before it's time, they will get red flag. That means that race doesn't count no matter how fast they were. And they have that light. It starts up and it says red, yellow, 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 green. And as soon as it hits green, they both can take off as fast as they want to. First person to cross that line is the winner, and they can move on. Just up here in Xenia, we have a lot of people do that every weekend. They do that for a competition for money. We know that in dating. Some you have your starts and stops. I'm starting to date somebody. I've just met this person that I really like. I don't want to talk about him, or I don't want to talk about her. We've moved on. It's over with. That time between there sometimes was great, but other times you get to it and it's like, we just weren't compatible. That wasn't so fun. Another thing that you see a lot of times this time of year is growing crops. Seems like crops always seem to manage to squeak their way into my lessons. My father-in-law's retired from General Motors, and he spends all of his time helping people do farming. So I see a lot of that, and I see how busy they get with it. Growing crops is all about the finish. You spend all that time. I think Abe made some analogies about people taking care of farming and how difficult it is. It's all about the finished product. You start things when you can. At this time of year, we all, whether we've got a home garden or whether we've got a farm that we take care of, we try to get the rain to help the soil out, but we want it to stop after a while so we can mow our grass and things. But it's trying to get to that end. Our employment's measured by stops and starts. Well, when did you start? When did you finish? You're looking for a new job. You got to tell people, okay, when I started and when I finished this job. They want to know, were you working at places for like a month at a time? Are you even worth looking at? Or have you been there for a while? your insurance company may want to know, okay, are you somebody that we can really put faith in that you're going to be at this employment for a while or not? Building houses or buildings. You know, one of the biggest things about a new house or a new building, especially a building for a company or something like that, is a groundbreaking. I don't know if you've ever been part of that. I've been a part of it a couple times, but they get all these people around and everybody's so excited. Somebody walks out with a brand new shiny shovel and they stick that shovel in the ground and they dig that soil up and they're like, ah! Everybody gets excited. They really haven't done anything, but they've made that first step to get that building going there. So that start is very important. And going from there, you get to the grand opening. A lot of times you see all this construction, and then they have the same type of ceremony when this grand opening happens. If it's a place like Walmart or one of those retailers, Best Buy or something, when they have that grand opening, boy, they want everybody to come in and buy things because they want them to know that that store is there for them. Starts and stops with GPSs can be a very frustrating thing. If you've ever gone on a trip, you've got a navigation unit on your car, you know, you try to type in, it says enter destination. Okay, what's your destination? Well, that's frustrating by itself because you half the time you don't know the exact address, but you try to get it in there. And then it says, okay, where are you coming from? Are you coming from my location or are you coming from another place? You have to get all those starts and stops in there, and sometimes it might take you in some crazy places, but if it's good, it'll take you to where you want to be. So getting from one place to another. And then another thing that we can look at in a physical way of talking about time is just time itself. We wake up in the morning at X time. We go to bed at X time. We do lunch at X time. I mean, all day, a human being's life is based on time frames because that's just how we function. As we go around the sun, we measure years. As the earth spins around on its revolution, we measure days. But in a spiritual way, let's look at endings with regard to time. You know, as Christians, doing good, we think that's one of our missions. That's something we should always do. And it never has a stop, but we know it can. In Psalms 34:14, it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, with all those things that we talked about physically, sometimes there's many stops and starts. In races, as we talked about, sometimes they have to stop the race because there's a really serious accident or something's on the track that can't allow traffic to keep going. We know when we're doing our trips and our GPS, we get everything programmed, sometimes we have to stop, take care of the restroom breaks, or we have to get some food, or we have to get gas. There's many stops and starts on those trips. You know, spiritually, there's a lot of stops and starts too. Ideally, if we could all get into these mindsets of being able to do good things, do what God wants us to, and never stop, that's what we should do. But as we looked about in this morning's lesson, you know, and I've mentioned it before, the reason we have so many examples of instruction, so many examples of correction, so many examples of what is written by the writers of the New Testament is to tell us people have made mistakes. You try not to make mistakes. And those mistakes are going to impede you against trying to realize your goal. In Psalms 34, when it says depart from evil, it's saying you're going to probably have evil in your life at some point. You may have it when you're young. As you become a Christian, maybe you put away some of those ways, but it's going to creep up again. It says, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. You're always trying to get to that. You're trying to get to the end where you've successfully navigated life, where evil has been put aside, where you've sought out goodness, where you've sought out peace, you've pursued it all the way to the end. But with that comes the expectation that you're probably going to have some challenges in between there. Sinning. In 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Again, the goal is to not sin. The goal as a Christian is to get to the end of our maze, if you will, of life without sin. But we know a couple things. First of all, we are going to sin because that's just the way that we are. Some of us have trouble with that. Some of us have a lot of trouble. Some just have a little bit of trouble with it. But we know that sin means missing the mark. And if we do sin, we know that we have, as it's stated here, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ's blood and the sacrifice that He gave to us that helps us to get to the end safely. Being faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We're talking about dating, and that's one of the things, too, you see a lot of times when you have somebody that you kind of like, and maybe they kind of like you, and maybe as things go on in between the relationship, and they start realizing, you're not quite what I thought, or you think that about them, and things change about how you feel about them. And if it doesn't go where both of you feel mutual about the situation, it's going to have an ending point. In the Christian life, being faithful is much more than that. It's about serving a God that can give us so much of what we have beyond what we have now, far into the future, and into eternity. It says, required in stewards that one be found faithful. So it's something that's expected of us. And again, as I pointed out in these passages, it's also an expectation that it's not always going to happen. Continuing on with our thoughts on stopping and starting, spiritually, seeking lost souls. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. We talked about that a lot in class this morning. The tendency for most human beings is to seek out for numero uno, they always like to say. I'm important. You go to a lot of people, even if you are dealing with maybe some crisis or something in the family, it's like, you just take care of yourself. You do what's best for you. And while we need to take care of ourselves, and as Dave pointed out this morning, you need to make sure that you have care for your own body and for your own life, but you also have to make sure that you are trying to help those around you. Seeking one another's well-being. If you see somebody down, check with them. See what's going on. If you see somebody frustrated, find out what's frustrating. I'm trying to get an answer there. Because the more that we do that for other people, the more we can hope ourselves that people are going to come to us and recognize things that might not be going well for us. And I'm not quite sure exactly why this did this. The shadow seems to be showing up on these animations, but the text comes up on top of it. So just an interesting thing there. We're talking about teaching. As we stop and start through our goal to try and find a proper end of doing what is right. In Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If I'm not mistaken, I've used this for the last couple times I've done some lessons up there, but it's so important because when we ask ourselves, what are we supposed to be doing? And we sometimes have people tell us, you don't have to be responsible for that, or you don't have to be responsible for this. Jesus says in Matthew 28 that you need to go on and do what I've commanded my disciples to do. They were to instruct you, and you're to carry that on. We talked about that with the baton in a relay race. Studying. 2 Timothy 2:15. You just might have recognized this from a recent study that we had together. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, with all these things, again, like I said, with the physical things we talked about in the beginning, we can, all of us have probably studied a regimen of study that's just great. I mean, we're saying, oh, every day I'm reading a chapter, or I'm reading two chapters. Maybe I'm going to read a whole book in a couple weeks. I know with the Sunday classes that everybody's been pretty much required to try to get a whole book in every week in between everything else. That takes some work. Some people are even more diligent about that. They just absolutely fill their days with study nonstop. You know, sometimes it wears us out, and even the New Testament says much studying is wearisome to the flesh. Sometimes we just get burned out and it just gets worn out. Or maybe we run into roadblocks where we can't answer things. So like all these other things we've talked about, sometimes we are really great about studying, other times we're really bad about studying, and we kind of oscillate back and forth. So the important thing is that we try to keep doing it. As it says there, be diligent. That means keep at it. Keep trying to work at it. Even if you're not doing a whole lot of it, keep trying to do more of it. About growing, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Again, same thing. Growth, as a human being, we typically grow to around 20 in height. I've talked to a couple people, and I think my mom said my dad grew until he was about 22, which I kind of believe because he's got about an inch or two on me. Casey and Travis and Levi, they all kept growing, which was unfortunate because I'm 6'3", and then I've got a brother at 6'5", 6'6", and 6'9", and that's just not natural. So I really don't think that it's fair, really, that they even did that. But apparently, my mom and dad used me as a test. But growing in grace and knowledge, that's, again, we have these spurts of growth as Christians. A new Christian, a lot of times, they're so excited about being a Christian, about having the sins of their lives moved off of the weight of their cares and growing and being a mature Christian. And they want to grab all that they can learn about those things. And we've all gone through that. Any of us that have been baptized, we're so excited and so happy to have those sins of our past removed from us. We need to be able to try to keep that because that's something that's very important for all of us. And we know that growth in life, the scientists might tell us, after we reach our mid-20s or so, we start deteriorating. But we know that we can always stay healthy. We can always keep our mind sharp. We can always keep our bodies as good a shape as we are able to. But growth is all dependent on effort. It says, grow in grace. When it's telling us that, this is an action. It's not just something that we just sit by and be idle with. And we also need to be mindful of our stops and starts with regard to the book of life. There's a number of things in Revelations that talk about this. I know Abe really has an appreciation for the book of Revelations. We've had some great studies from there. In Revelations 20:15 says, "If anyone and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." And we know that it's possible in that same book that the names sometimes can be removed depending on our actions. So we need to make sure, as we're talking about stops and starts, that once we are a Christian, once we're baptized, when we're a member of the church, that we do everything that we can to try to make sure that our name is not blotted out of that. Because we've all seen people, maybe ourselves, have been in some situations where we knew everything to do that was right. We knew what God's Word said. We knew how to live our lives. We knew how to maintain that level of correctness in the book of life. And we just fell flat on our face. And sometimes when we fall flat on our faces, we don't get back up for a while. I mean, we're pushed down. That goes back to what we were talking about, is watching out for each other and keeping an eye on other people. It's important that we watch out for that. And the same thing with regard to time. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed to men to die once, but after this, the judgment. When we're talking about starts and stops, we need to remember too, and we talk about this a lot, the longer our lives are able to go on this earth, doctors are able to help us out, people like me that have diabetes that maybe normally have only lived to be 40 or 30 years old because they just didn't have drugs to be able to deal with it years ago. People that had cancers and heart disease and bone problems and joint problems and breathing issues. I mean, there's so many things that have given us the ability to live longer on this earth. We can't always expect that to happen. We always have to be watching out for the end. And just like the maze, when we're going through there, there's a good thing that happens when you get through that. It just depends what your perception is. If you're looking at things from a physical point of view, it goes back to what we were talking about in our class. Get as much as you can now because you can't take it with you. That's why it's so important to focus on the spiritual thing, because God tells us in His Word that's not what we should be focused on. Enjoy life. The Bible tells us that God's given this world to us to enjoy, to be appreciated. But think about eternity, because eternity is where it's all about. I saw this book. We've talked about it a little bit. It was read at a funeral that I was at on Friday. In Ecclesiastes 3, you might like to open up there. It's almost hard to talk about a time lesson without going here, but it is so good to think about. And I want to read verses 1 through 8, which are typically read. Songs have been made about it, but I also want to focus on verses 9 through 11 at the end of this. In verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." We've heard this most of us, most of our lives, and there have been, like I said, there have been a good song written on this text here. But when we're talking about starts and stops, we're talking about the duration of life, and we're talking about trying to get to a good ending. We're all born, and we're all going to die. You know, as a plant, sometimes you have to get in to grow, but it, just like we talked about in that harvest for a farmer, it's when they have to pluck it up. That's when the harvest happens. That's when they can use the fruit of their labor. Time to kill and a time to heal. You know, sometimes as a farmer, you want to make sure that those animals are not hurt. If something happens to them, you take care of them. You get them better. But as livestock, the purpose of most livestock, especially like cattle and things like that, is to raise them until they're older so that you can use them for meat. You know, sometimes you need to break down things and to build them up. You can't have, we've seen what's happened to Japan, and they have to just demolish really cities of debris that have been destroyed by the earthquake and the tsunami. But once that debris is pushed out of the way, they're going to start rebuilding right on top of there. And the same thing with all these other things talking about weeping and mourning and casting stones away. There's times for each one of those. There's always a start and there's always a finish. And as Mike talked about on the poem that he brought up on Wednesday, it's in between there that's up to each one of us. But we don't often go to verses 9 through 11. It says, "What profit has a worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." It's a powerful thing there. Think about that. We know what we've done from beginning to end. You know, it's interesting how God has given our minds such sharpness and such clarity that we can rewind back to the earliest stages of our life. Most of us, till we're 5, some of us even 4 years old, and we can remember almost everything that happened that was of significance back in that time. We can remember back that far, and we can remember to where we are today. But when you think about eternity, someone like God that has never had an ending, and this book also goes on and talk about, we can't even fathom what happens in the future because it's already happened to God. He knows what's happening. We can't fathom the history of God because He knows all of that too. It's just so far beyond us. So as we think about timing, we need to think about that as well. In 1 John 2:17, "This world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Time will end here, and that's not a lesson to get us all sad and feeling down and thinking about lost loved ones or maybe those that are ill or sick or anything like that. This lesson is not about that. This lesson is thinking about, like I've got on the top there. You notice all these previous slides on here, I've had that time. If you've ever done any editing, 00000, that's 0 hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds. And sometimes you can keep on going further than that. That's how we measure time. That's the absolute last moment that you can do something. But when you skip ahead, when we talk about this, time ends here. I change that to time is null, which if you've ever done any programming or you know what that means it has no value. There's nothing assigned to that. Time is basically irrelevant. And that's what we're talking about in 1 John 2:17. This world's passing away. It's ending. Its fruition is coming. And all the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's what we should be happy about. Going back to that first song that we sang, "Oh Happy Day." Being a Christian, being a man or woman in Christ, being part of His kingdom, we have to look forward to time that is null. We have looking forward to time that is not counted, that it just goes on forever if we're with God. Eternity has no end. And again, talking about the Dash poem that Mike had read to us on Wednesday, I did find out in looking this up right after he had read that, Linda Ellis is the author of that poem. But also on this slide, just taking this theme a little bit, you know, when you're making a production and you see that little thing back here, I forget what that board's called back there. I always called it the cut board because that's about all I could ever remember of it. But they used to have that a lot in film, and they still do even today with all the digital videos they do. But when they're doing a scene, what they'll do is have somebody walk out there, and what they have marked on there, if you've ever paid attention to those things, is it says, okay, which part of the movie this is, which segment of the movie it is, where it needs to be inserted. They put all that stuff on there, they walk out in front of the camera, they snap that thing. So when they're quickly going through these videos, they can figure out, okay, this is where we started filming this, this was a good section, and when they get done with it, they do the cut again, and they say, okay, this section of the film is what we're going to use in the movie. They take it over the movie, they edit it in, and they're all clipped together. And we're all probably familiar with that. When they do a movie, it's just hundreds and hundreds of takes. Some movies are filmed for years before they're ever done that way, and they're pieced together. But I wanted us to think about that individually too, because our life is kind of like that. When we say start, that's them coming out there and saying, "Roger Starnes, 1-1, click, and here I am today." That thing's been snapped at the beginning of my life. When I was born to my mom and dad, that thing was snapped. I'm still living, and just like Mike's poem went on Wednesday, right now is my dash, if you want to call it that way. I'm still acting it out, life. I might act good, I might act bad, but that's up to me. All these things that we talked about this morning are cues for me just like you see on, if you ever watch a Late Show or some show like that, see these people out there talking and somebody out there holding a big sign telling them what to read. The cues for us as Christians are all the things that we read about there in the New Testament. Just a slight example here this morning. They're telling us, okay, I'm starting to go wrong. Oh, the Bible says, don't go wrong, do right, correct yourself. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, what else? I'm having some bad thoughts. I'm going to keep having these bad thoughts. No, Roger, don't have bad thoughts. This is what you should be doing. Think about these things. All whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are right. All these corrections are in there. So everything I start to do, there's a good cue for me inside this book to tell me, hey, straighten that out. You can fix it. Because when that thing snaps at the end of my life, I want to make sure that that movie has a good ending. We all want to make sure that our movies, our lives, have a good ending. But as we'll get into in Abe's conclusion of this, our movie lasts until this life is over, but then eternity comes. So this morning, as we think about these things, I hope it stirs your mind to kind of take a look at some of these ideas and to think what we can do. Because remember, as we've talked about some of these songs this morning, all of our lives are going to have that ending. It's going to snap and say, Roger, that clip's done. It's time for the time to be edited and put into the movie based on the director. Well, director, I guess you could make an analogy to God. But remember, Christ had that snapped at the end of his life too. Satan was clipping that thing and saying, I got another one. I'm going to try to hold on to him. But when Jesus came up and rose again, he broke everything that Satan had expected. And he also broke all the laws that man had come to know. He overcome death so that he could have eternal life and show man that it was indeed possible. And as Abe was asking, and he's asked in all the lessons that you guys have had in these studies of these books in the New Testament, asking what shows that this is inspired, or basically what shows that this is true, Christ appeared to people and said, hey, I didn't die. You saw me hanging on that tree. You saw me out there for hours. You felt the earthquake. You saw the soldier poke my side. You saw the blood and water. You saw me taken down and put in that tomb. But here I am. I did it. I overcame all that. And he said, you can do that too. If you just follow me, I can make sure that you get there. And he's given us everything that we need to. So this morning, think about that. If there's something that's on our minds, please let that be known while we stand and sing.